I've wined and dined with kings and queens and slept in an alley and fed on pork and beans. You are listening to episode number 203 of the Mighty Warrior C Marvel podcast. Rest in peace, Dusty. We miss you.
American dream. He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. He's just a common man, working hard for the man. Hey, he's a American dream. Hey, he's a American dream.
Down to the hour, the man with power. I am the hit maker, the record breaker. I got style and grace and a pretty face. I'll make your back crack, your liver quiver. You ain't into this match, you've got the wrong address. Superstar, when the other wrestlers are smiling, joking, the dream be, woo, cooking and smoking. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Mighty Warrior C Marvel podcast. I'm your host, the Marvelous Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Oh, reverse that however you want it to be. Joining me is my stalwart co-host, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back once again.
Hey, thank you for having me, Dusty.
And joining us is secret wrestling fan Taser. Taser, welcome back.
Hello, Reddit, and hello, William N. Tunes. I guess that would be your uncle, Iggy. We just got a brand new like on Facebook, so, you know, thumbs up, and here's an icy for you, dude.
Yes.
Thank you for the like.
All right. We're going to open up with a little somber feeling this time around because I'm a wrestling fan. Last weekend, not this past week, 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, we saw passing of an underrated American wrestling legend, the American man himself, self-made man, Dusty Rhodes.
Son of a plumber. Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes Sr. specifically, passed away, what was he? How old was he? 80?
I don't think he was 80.
Well, Dusty Rhodes unfortunately left us all, and I know Dusty Rhodes wasn't exactly the most popular wrestler, but if you're a person who's younger and you haven't experienced the power that is Dusty Rhodes,
the power.
Go look on YouTube for some of his promos, and I horribly did impersonations of Dusty Rhodes of two of his famous quotes, but I cannot do it justice. Hearing the man speak, when you think of the word charisma in the wrestling business, Dusty Rhodes was that. Dusty, and again, a lot of people know Dusty as that, but he was also a great wrestler and a great performer, in-ring performer, in the 70s into the early 80s before he went to WWF in the 1980s, in the late 80s, early 90s. So, and before I pass on to you guys, rest in peace, Dusty. We're going to miss you. The American Dream is not dead because he lives on forever. You guys got anything to say about the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes?
Sapphire was funny. And Gold Dust and Stardust are disturbing. But I will say that Dusty Rhodes did make you smile. You know? He did make you smile. Might not have been the most glamorous looking guy in the ring, but he had a way with words. So I tip my hat to you, dude. Back on deals.
Brian, do you have anything to say about the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes?
One of his other more famous things back in the day was to claim that he was the son of a plumber. And, you know, his whole bag for a while was he was the American Dream. He'd come up from nothing and made himself something. And he'd done it from humble backgrounds and stuff. And thinking about it now, either Goldust or Stardust, either his sons could claim they were the son of Dusty Rhodes, and that would not be humble in the least. I mean, he's respected by everyone from Flair all the way down to his kids who are wrestling today, and the newbies who are all posting in honor of him and, you know, paying respect, I guess. He's one of those guys who may not have been or gotten the most attention while alive, but now, and it's sad the circumstances, but he's definitely getting the respect and credit he deserves.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Dusty.
Rest in peace, American Dream. I think I was watching before we move on to Action News, like they end, like the way WWE ended the video is like, until we meet again one day. I'm like, damn it, man. Fuck.
All man right. Tears. Don't do this to me, man.
Man tears.
Like, you know, you know, at least this wasn't a, like a, like I hate to say this, at least this wasn't like a Ultimate Warrior kind of thing where, you know, like before it, wait, like Dusty's been around a long time, you know, like it's sad, but either way, let's move on to news because we're missing. Apparently, remember when I said Punisher for season two of Daredevil or get the fuck out? Well, apparently, the Netflix Daredevil people do not have to get the fuck out. Brian, explain why.
I guess what, kids? We're getting Punisher for Daredevil season two. People,
somebody's listening. We deserve credit. We deserve credit.
Trademark, Mighty Warriors Team Marvel
Podcast. I just want a cameo. I just want to be shot by the Punisher. like straight up. I'll play a gangbanger. Fuck.
You have to put on your best.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to rape and kill, pal.
We're getting Punisher for season two of Daredevil. It's unclear in what capacity he will be, if he'll be a season-long antagonist, show up for a few episodes, or what have you, this, that, and the other thing. But we do have a name, John Bernthal. John Bernthal.
Berthenol.
John Byrne? Doesn't he write comics?
That's what I thought it was.
Iggy made that same joke first thing. Before.
Like, what is John Byrne doing playing the Punisher?
John Byrne just shows up out of nowhere. Superman's better.
bitches about the state of modern comics and how women are, and women and everything.
Oh, let's not get into that bullshit.
No, but it had to be made.
Read my book, 2112.
So John Bernthal, perhaps
he kills people
known...
with old X-Men comics. That's what he does.
Oh, God.
My Wolverine was best.
Fuck Daredevil. Superman's better.
All right. So John, and where do people remember the name of John Bernthal?
Oh, he was Shane from The Walking Dead, ladies and gentlemen. That is who's playing Frank Castle. Shane. The other gun-toting psychopath.
Crickets.
He was also in The Wolf of Wall Street, and he was in Fury, and that's about it.
Hey, Fury was a good movie.
Actually, he did a TV show about about 10 years ago. Actually, he did a TV show with, was it Jesse Tyler Ferguson? From
he didn't
Modern
exist
Family?
Before Walking Dead, Taser.
Not true. He did a TV show, and it was about, like, six friends... Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but it's clear that seems
people
to be...
People don't remember that.
Yeah, it seems to me that The Walking Dead... I mean, granted, he hasn't been in other things since Walking Dead, but like that's sort of like where people recognize him
right,
from
now. Right, that's the big thing. No, and I get that. I'm just saying, he's Frank Castle? Really?
Well, I mean, he's going to do better than... What's-his-face? The one in the guy in the
Ray,
last...
Whatever
Ray Stevenson.
Was...
Yeah, he's going to...
I liked that movie!
Credit.
I will give Stevenson
credit, okay?
You can like it all. You know what I don't like about Stevenson?
That movie was awesome.
Yeah, except
he
for Punisher.
He shot a guy with a rocket.
Except... Woo! Oh, in midair?
Jigsaw bringing together all the criminals with the patriotic music going up in the background was fucking glorious, okay? I don't care what you say.
That movie is garbage.
He dropped down in the middle of that family meal and did that, what was it? Cartwheel across the table, slit the mother's neck. That was beautiful.
The question I have for the Punisher on Netflix, because of his black costume, how the fuck are we going to be able to see him? Because the show's really darkly lit.
Boo!
So, but we don't know any details, but he's going to be in it.
Yeah, the press release is basically just saying that his appearance inside of Hell's Kitchen in New York will forever alter Matt Murdock's world as we know it, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, they're going to do a showdown. There's no way Marvel's not going to have... They'll probably have him show up like... I kind of hope he doesn't show up as like a season-long thing. I kind of want it to be maybe...
I doubt that, considering some of the other things we've been hearing about Daredevil Season 2.
Yeah.
So
I kind of hope it's like two episodes or three at the most, and then he's out and doing his own thing.
We'll see, I guess.
But, I mean, I have to know, like, he has to be able to play that stone cold killer. That's the thing about Frank Castle. Like, I don't want any personality. I don't want any flamboyantness. I want a dude who's on a fucking... I want a man...
Yeah, don't worry. No personality. The character takes care of that himself.
I want a man who's on a mission and just is going to have to kill.
I want to see his family get killed.
No, that's I don't think we need
I want
to
see the origin story,
I don't think we need to waste time on that.
Yes. I mean, people get to die on screen. How dare you take that from me?
Because it's the origin story. I don't want to see
yes,
that.
Yes, I
I've
want
seen
to
it.
See the people
because
die.
Because you can
on screen.
You can never top how Thomas Jane's Punisher family was taken
I
out.
I want to see people die on screen.
You're going to see plenty of people die when he starts shooting.
No. But you're taking them from me.
It's it's my rights as an American to take your rights away. So
it is my rights to kill you for trying to take them away from me. I want to see them on screen.
All right,
so,
whatever.
Guys, what do you guys think? Would you put someone different in the role? What do you think of Bernthal?
Tom Hardy?
You would put Tom Hardy in the role?
Sure, why not?
How deliciously cliche.
I can't think of a lot of actors I can't think of a lot of actors who I think would play Tom. I mean, Frank Castle isn't exactly a complex role. He's very
Frank Castle's a very hard, stern character.
Yeah.
Granted, you got like some serious angsty crazy from what's his name playing Shane, but we're talking hard edge. You know, that's Frank Castle. You know, square jawed as it is.
A stone, like a like that, that those killer eyes. You know.
Yeah, and you know, someone who like you know chews on nails, that kind of shit.
Chews on nails, eats dirt.
I'd have done Holt Calony personally. And the thing about that is, no one knows who the fuck he is either. So it kind of ticks me off that no one knows who he is.
Who, John Bernthal?
No, the guy who I would have put in the role instead of John Bernthal, because I'm not crazy about John Bernthal in the role. I would have cast a different guy named Holt McCallany. There's his IMDb there in the message. I would have put him in the role. He strikes me as much more suited to the role.
I'm surprised they didn't contact Thomas Jane to come revise the role.
Well, I think Thomas Jane might have nullified himself with the whole dirty laundry thing that happened a couple of years back.
Oh, okay. I still haven't seen that, but whatever.
Well, I mean, it was an attempt by.
No, I know what it is, but
yeah, okay,
but I've never seen it. I don't.
You've never seen it, though.
Yeah.
He was in Alien 3 and Three Kings. Interesting.
And the biggest thing he ever did was the series on FX called Lights Out. It lasted one season. He was the main guy in that one.
He was the boxer.
Yes, he was. But he makes his living playing tough guys for the mob and gangster syndicates and stuff. So
now he's going to be killing them.
Well, the thing is, back in 2013, he did a series called Golden Boy. It lasted only one season, but he played a New York cop in that one. And I'm just like, that's so Frank Castle, it's not even funny.
He was also in The Losers, and I remember this character, Wade. Oh, yeah, okay, I could agree with this. Yeah, based on his portrayal of that character, I could see him as Frank Castle.
Yeah, I would put him as Frank Castle. But, like you
he's
said.
He's not a terrible choice.
Bernthal's got that coldness to him, but he's also got the crazy eyes. You know, that's the other thing too.
Well, he's an actor. Yeah. Fucking adapt.
Well, right.
I mean, but
I don't know. But his face just doesn't say Frank. That's really it. His face is wrong.
In the same way, anyway. I couldn't see Statham as Bullseye. I'm not so certain I'm comfortable with Bernthal as Punisher, just because there's something about.
Well, better get used to it because it's happening.
I know you don't have to keep rubbing it in, first of all. Second of all, I don't know, man. It's just something doesn't ring right about it. But, I mean, like, it's beyond that point now. So, you know. Anyway, I mean, I guess there are worse actors to choose from. So, you know, it could have been worse, I guess. Shrug.
All right. Anything else to say, guys, before we move on past John Bernthal as Frank Castle the Punisher?
I think he can play him. I just, when I look at him, I don't see it. Mm. You know, that's the whole thing. He just doesn't look enough like the character. But I think he could play him.
Well,
I'll give him
they transformed Charlie Cox into freaking Matt Murdock calling off the page, so who knows? Maybe they'll be able to do the same for Johnny Boy.
I hope it works out good, because he's a decent actor with a future ahead of him. So, you know,
he doesn't need to be a good actor for this. He just needs to. He just needs to train his.
You know, you're setting the bar too low here, Iggy.
What?
You're setting the bar too low for him. You got to set the bar high, okay?
I guess he just needs to train his facial features to not be happy. Not even grr, and just look serious. Just look mad. Just look like mad, like there's a beast raging inside you.
Like the Hulk?
Kinda, but more calmer about it, because I mean the thing about Frank is that Frank is like it's about like when he especially when like when I hope to see with Frank Castle in Daredevil is decision, the preparation, the zero the fact that this
that's all folks
the fact the fact the preciseness, the fact that he leaves nothing to chance on just how militaristic he is, because I mean he is.
You want to see the tactical side.
I want to see that. Yeah, as much as I'm excited for Punisher, I don't want to just see him, as much as it would be more fun this way, the guns blazing sort of shit. I want to see, you know, the tactical side.
I better get my guns blazing. This is the Punisher. If shells aren't dropping,
I mean, I'm sure you need shells disappointed. Dropping, but I also want a tactical. I want to see a smart thinking Punisher. This guy's not an idiot. The dude was a United States Marine. They're not idiots. They know what they're doing in the field of battle, and I want that to be replicated. And I also want to see Greg Rucka's Punisher costume replicated on this with the body armor and everything. Like, it'd be great.
Basically, you just want Greg Rucka's Punisher.
Yeah, not he doesn't talk a lot. He's more of a force of nature than anything else, and he serves as cannon. He serves as fodder for Daredevil. There you go.
In this one instance, I will say, give me Garth Ennis instead.
Well, I mean, they're pretty – well, whatever. I prefer Greg Rucka's Punisher, but to each his own. All right, anything else, guys, before we move on?
Jeez.
All right, let's move on to apparently dreams can come true. Brian, why don't you tell the audience how dreams can come true?
So, as you know, Marvel's going through this whole Secret Wars thing right now with an all-new, all-different Marvel set to emerge from the ashes. And one such thing that will be different is a brand new Doctor Strange ongoing series. Written by none other than Jason Aaron, the genius behind things like Thor and a bunch of other indie books that you don't read. And
so David Tennant's going to play it again?
What?
David Tennant.
No, not...
What? Oh, I'm thinking Doctor Who. I'm sorry. My bad.
Get that Whovian shit out of here. There's only
We're
one.
Doctor Strange.
There's only one doctor in his name. There's only one doctor in his name.
And it's Christopher Eccleston. There you go. That's my Doctor Strange.
And the book will be illustrated by Chris Bocciolo of Uncanny X-Men fame.
Oh my god.
And he did the amazing Shed storyline in Amazing Spider-Man 2, by the way.
He's done other things.
He's done Incredible Hulk and a bunch of other stuff. But those are. I mean, that's the stuff he's known for. Yeah. And it's pretty big deal considering this is his first ongoing in quite literally years. This isn't some, his book just got canceled, so he's getting a new one. No, first of all, okay, this dude, I mean, his last ongoing was in the 90s, I'm pretty sure. It's been a while. I'm going to look up the actual year.
So what was he on, sabbatical or some shit?
Doctor joke, I get that. No, I don't know. I mean, he was in New Avengers when Bendis was helming that series. He was in that. And
Doctor Strange has been around.
He's been in the Illuminati as we've been reading Taser, obviously.
He's also the sheriff of Agamotto.
And he's also a ghost.
So yes. It's called his astral form. Thank you very much.
Spook. No, that sounds right.
Hey.
I thought a spook was a reference to like a spy back in the 50s.
Well, yes, but it's also that too. A term for a
black. So he's a black spy.
Is it?
Oh!
I did not fucking know.
Bill Cosby an eye spy? Or?
Oh! He meets girls in the back room afterward. Hey.
Oh, and somehow we're back on Bill Cosby while we're talking about Dr. Strange.
Hey!
Dr. Huxtable, what are you doing with those pills?
God damn it, move on.
Not much else to say, that's what we got for right now. Dr. Strange is getting his own ongoing with Jason Aaron, Chris Bocciolo helming it. So, Iggy, you give your thoughts. You're the one who's stoked for this.
I'm very, very fucking excited. One, they have the perfect artist. Jason Aaron, I'm going to have to see, although he delivered some epicness with Thor. So hopefully he'll bring the same kind of epicness to Doctor Strange. Two, and I'll say this before, If I, and again, this is this Marvel State of Publishing, if I get 12 issues of this, I'll be happy. You know, I'm not expecting more. This is Doctor Strange we're talking about. I don't expect it to last long. Who knows? Maybe I'll ride the movie hype train and it'll be the number one sale on Diamond and all that kind of shit. Maybe. Idealistic thinking, I know. But the point is, I'm finally, after finally years of asking and asking and asking, a Doctor Strange number ongoing series, and I will fucking buy it. I'm going to read it so much, and I hope... I know it's going to be good because there's two people behind it that I know can deliver quality stories. So I'm fully confident. I'm excited. When does this shit launch?
After Secret Wars.
So September?
Until the end of this. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's going to be part of the all-new, all-different launch.
To quote Harley Quinn, I'm down with the clown, yo.
Oh, God. Did she really say that?
I don't think so, but I like saying that.
That sounds horrible. Really.
I'm down with the clown.
That sounds like New 52. Is that New 52?
I don't believe. I don't know. I'm just gonna say I'm down with the clown, yo.
Didn't she actually say I'm going down on the clown?
Possibly. I don't think the Joker would care. Either way, so I'm. I'll give
she
you.
Gives good
you
math.
Can see. You can see my erection from Pluto. That's how. Hey! That's how big it is. For Doctor Strange ongoing. In a world where a Doctor Strange and a Doctor Fate ongoing can coexist at the same time, Iggy is a very happy fanboy right now. I'm not saying magic is making the comeback, but I'm going to enjoy this little time while I fucking can. So excuse me while I go create some pentagrams and do Wiccan shit. You guys talk.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
No, oh!
And I'm interested. I'll check it out. I mean, Jason Aaron and fucking, you know, the Chris Bachalo will get me for at least the first issue or first few issues, what have you. But and I first found out about this when our dearly departed Arnold posted on his Facebook page about this, and I was reading it, and it struck a chord with me because I remember thinking, you know, way back when Bendis and Maleev were helming the Moon Knight ship, Iggy said that if these two couldn't sustain the series, then he doesn't deserve another ongoing. Now, I feel like this is almost the same predicament with Doctor Strange, where if these two can't make it last for a while, he doesn't deserve another ongoing series. And to be fair, he hasn't had one since the 90s, so that's really kind of already a thing. But that being said, I'm interested to see where it goes because he is carrying a big fucking battle axe in the promo art. So, you know, I'll check it out anyway. You know, Jason Aaron doesn't write a bad story. So.
I have really no interest in reading a Doctor Strange book because I'm not a big fan of magic characters beyond maybe Ghost Rider. And, you know, Ghost Rider as a character, you know, he interests me. Doctor Strange, and it's not like I don't like Doctor Strange. It's, I don't know. It's just a lot of stuff that goes on around him. Nah. And especially the way they've been playing him, especially in New Avengers and with the Illuminati. And, you know, he's been – they managed to darken him up again, and I don't like that, you know. So – you would think that, you know, I guess post-Secret Wars, all of that stuff is gone, and, you know, this is the new thing that we're dealing with. But I still haven't heard anything that would make me want to pick this book up. I would tell Iggy, though, you may want to wait till trades.
No.
You know,
no.
I just say, you know,
I need to
let
support
your money
it monthly.
You, pick up the trades because it might last a year. And it might not last a year.
I'm going to pick the issues and I'm going to pick the trades. I'm going to double
dip. They die after about 7 issues. So
hey, if it gets 7 issues, that's more than I've gotten.
96. That was the last time his ongoing was canceled. Okay, so 1996. Almost 20 years have come and gone since Doctor Strange has had a series.
I would say wait for the trade.
No, I'm going to read. No. You can't.
He's
going to
read each issue, and he's going to watch Doctor Strange
fight
Black Baron.
I'm going
Mordo,
to review every single issue it comes out. I'm going to review everything. I don't care if I've reviewed it. I don't care.
By the way,
wait for the hardcover.
Oh, I'll buy the issues. I'll buy the hardcover. I'll buy the deluxe edition hardcover. I'm buying this shit over and over again.
I hope it's Dr. Strange talking street to the kids with the lingo. I hope that's what it is. It's horrible.
But yeah, I just, there's nothing in that that interests me. So yeah, good luck to you if you want to read it or not. I'll leave it alone. No interest.
Bah. All right. Speaking of Doctor Strange, we got a toy line that got announced. For a
not so much a toy line.
Well, a toy for...
Toy exclusive! Yay!
Hasbro's exclusive for San Diego Comic-Con International 2016.
They always do this kind of shit.
Yeah, I know. But listen to this set, because this is actually... At first, I could have, like, nay-nay, taser. Like, no, get that shit out of here. We don't
talk as about usual.
That. Then I saw the set, and I'm like, oh, shit, because it is a nice-looking set. Here's what we got in this set.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes in the Book of the Vishanti, first of all.
It comes?
You've got a collector's box designed like the Book of the Vishanti, okay? Inside the book is a Eye of Agamotto wearable pendant type thing. So, you know, all the nerds running around with their necklaces and the Eye of Agamotto chest on there. That would be cool. Inside comes... Yes, comes. Doctor Strange's astral form, which is like a blue translucent figure. Brother Voodoo, swoon. Magic from the X-Men. The Asgardian goddess Hela. And Dormammu himself.
Complete with wacky headdress.
Indeed. They have weapons, they have energy, they have all this other cool stuff. It's a nice looking set, honestly. I'm not even a big toy guy. I don't really buy toys, but I would probably buy this set.
I want to buy this. I want this now. Somebody, if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, I will procure this off of you.
It will be sold at the Hasbro booth at San Diego Comic-Con, held July 8th through 12th in San Diego. Priced at a convenient $99.99.
It's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
I expected it to be worse.
And apparently inside they also have these like cool flip illustrated pages.
Oh, that's even that's why it's $99.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm gonna look on eBay everywhere for this fucking set. Oh my god, I want this set. I haven't wanted a toy in a long time. Anybody else excited about this? Look at this. Look at this.
No.
Although you posted it, be excited for it.
Yeah, because it's toy news and we hardly do toy news, but yeah, no.
I mean, like, one, I want to say this, one, San Diego Comic-Con is in less than 2 weeks now, I think. The big gala, well, I don't think San Diego, I don't think San Diego Comic-Con is even the big gala of everything anymore, personally. That's a whole other topic, but good luck to anybody who's going to go out for this set, because, one, they're going to be in limited number, because they never have them in, they are, like, I'd imagine, like, maybe 100. How many do you think?
If they're going to keep it small, I'd probably estimate, I don't know, maybe 500 would be too much. Maybe 250?
250? All right. But
then they actually also, after the event, a limited number will also become available through HasbroToyShop.com.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe they cut their stock in half at 500, 250 at the show, 250 afterwards.
Maybe, but who knows? I don't know, but all I know is that this shit's good luck to anybody who's going out for it. That's all I'm saying.
You better bring your giant fucking battle axe with you.
I'm not going to San Diego Comic Con, so I don't have to
not
worry.
Not you, about. Anybody out there.
Oh, pretty much, I agree. Anything else to say, guys, on the Doctor Strange San Diego Comic Con set?
Good anybody? Luck getting it if you want it.
I would make magic and hit a kiss.
And now you kissy face. You kissy.
And now
kissy. Kissy. And now that's the end of every DeviantArt.
And then it turns out that it's Stephen Strange astral form inside of Magic's body controlling her.
Wouldn't you do that, though? Wouldn't you do that, though?
To be fair, yes, I absolutely would.
All right. Well, let's move on to individual reviews. Yes. Woo! Yes. And I'm actually going to go with a surprise. I'm going to be reviewing Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos.
My jaw dropped, Nicky. Seriously, I did a fake.
Yeah, I wanted, when this came out last week, not last week, the 2 weeks ago, last week, yeah. What? Whatever. 2 weeks ago. Because I wanted a fun Battle World tie-in. You know, a lot of the Battle World tie-ins I've been reading are kind of serious. They take themselves seriously, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wanted something fun, and Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos just seemed such right up my fucking alley. So I picked this book up.
Hi-oh.
I picked this book up because, one, I love the Howling Commandos. I love what they represent. I love creature stuff. I love supernatural shit. So basically, one, I didn't know Daredevil, not Daredevil, Deadpool was engaged to Dracula's sister. No, Dracula's ex-girlfriend, not sister. And so basically, Dracula slices off Deadpool's head. That doesn't kill him, but apparently throwing him into an acid-filled casket and throwing him into the ocean will kill him. So basically, Deadpool kind of opens the book and closes his book by with his astral ghost, which is extremely funny. I think he even ref so basically, you opens up with the Invisible Man, and you get some cool sub captions of the creature of the Howling Commandos. Werewolf by night, all the powers are a werewolf at night. So this is all Deadpool saying this, in this classic sort of breaking the wall. The Living Mummy, way more exciting than any other kind of mummy. Frankenstein, he's always cool. Man-Thing, let's all be adults about his unfortunate name and appearance, okay? When he touches somebody, they burst into flames. That's wicked cool. And then here's the new addition, which is Marcus the Minotaur with the symbiote. And of course, Dracula's favorite centurion with an alien symbiote, a perfect warrior with no weakness. So there you have it. And basically, it's sort of like they're complete, like they kind of remind me of like Kingpin's like goons, the like Montana, you know what guys I'm
Fancy
talking.
Dan, Montana
They're
Max,
kind of like that, except they have to f in fact, Mrs. Deadpool, whose name I can't remember, basically uses Medusa's head to freeze them. Like, they're kind of bumbling idiots. So she's trying, Shikala is what her name is. Basically, is trying to resurrect Deadpool, and she's on this quest, and unfortunately, she has to be escorted by the Howling Commandos by Dracula's orders. Nonsense, and like back, Dracula's like, my finest warriors will escort you safely to the River Styx and back. Ha! I am your finest warrior, but I'll take your monsters on a walkabout if you wish. Oh, snap! Wicked burn. I love Deadpool's wit in spaces. And so she turns out like the Howling Commandos. I don't know why I want to call them Creature Commandos, because that's not a thing. Or is that a thing somewhere else?
The Creature Commandos, I think, are DC, but Howling Commandos was used by Marvel for a Monsters team line.
Yeah,
So,
I mean they're called the Howling Command, like it's a pun on
yeah, on the
like
Werewolf
on
by Night
well,
kingdom.
how you know Howling
Yeah,
Command.
I know what howling is.
Yeah, how I just wanted to howl. So basically, you have a Minotaur, a mummy, Frankenstein, giant-sized man thing, and going escorting Lady Dracula on a mission to bring her back. And Deadpool is recording it all via astral form, and he knows it's gonna happen ahead of time. So there you go. I just really wanted something fun. I wanted something enjoyable. And this gave me everything to it. It was a unique look into Battle World. Has no like you could read this without reading Battle World. Like that's the fun part of it, or the negative part of it, depending on what kind of person you are. I just had fun with it. It was funny. It was hilarious. And Deadpool's in it in just a matter of times, and he's not annoying. He's actually funny. And I want to see what sort of adventures they're gonna get into, and what sort of comedy, they're gonna get into. So yeah, I give it 3 out of 5. It wasn't the best thing I read, but it was entertaining. It got the job done. Brian, you're up.
Yay! I'm up. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay. Mine was Secret Wars Journal number 2. And this is the one where they do different, like, they do multiple stories inside of a single issue to show you just different corners of Battle World, some other stuff. So the first one is called The Hunt, written by Kevin Moore and art and illustrated by Corey Smith. So The Hunt takes place in Killville, which is the domain run by MODOK, which, if you haven't been reading the MODOK Battle World tie-in, you're underestimating it. It's very entertaining. So, buddy cop team Paladin and Misty Knight are chasing down Boom Boom, Yes, that's a real thing. Inside this area of Killville, which is pretty much just GTA Vice City, but, you know, with superheroes. So they chase down Boom Boom, and they find out she has this thing called Kraven's Coin. Now, Kraven's Coin is the totem in this thing called the Hunt, which is basically if you get the coin and you take it to Kraven at his Jungle Room Casino inside of Killville, you get a substantial amount of money. That's what the Hunt is. So Misty Knight and Paladin, not exactly being, you know, paragons of virtue, decide to cash in on the whole Kraven's Hunt thing. But the thing about the Hunt is whoever has the coin is the target. So they immediately have targets on their backs, and they're hit by the Rhino. And this one dude's car gets rhinoed. That's the effect on the page. R-H-I-N-O-D. You just got rhinoed, pretty much, yeah. And for the record, Rhino is wearing a baseball cap with horns coming out of it, and he's got chains and bling and shit. It's really bizarre, and it climaxes inside Kraven's Jungle World Casino, where there's an all-out brawl when it's realized that these two have the coin, and they're right there. So this huge melee ensues, wherein Paladin is pretty much used as a human shield for Misty the entire time, and he pretty much ends up being literally carried out of the casino after Misty Knight uses the coin to claim Kraven's money or what have you. And it's just basically a story about these two cops cashing in and stuff, but it was really entertaining. I enjoyed it. It's bright and colorful, and some of the re-envisioning of the characters is kind of interesting, and I especially love the fact that when Kraven meets Misty Knight and she claims the coin, he's like, you've done a wonderful job. I, like you, was an accomplished hunter once and such. And then she calls him on his bullshit by saying the pelt he has in his room was at some gift shop downstairs, and Kraven's apparently not a hunter at all. It's just kind of a fun little one-off story with these two. And then we get to the second story called Hell's Kitchen, written by Simon Spurrier, artist by Jonathan Marks. Now, this one takes place in Bar Sinister, which is, of course, the realm of Mr. Sinister. And Mr. Sinister is tended to by two people in particular, one of whom is named Collectra. Yes, Collectra, as in C-O-L-L-E, whatever. Anyway.
Is she the tax collector?
No, what she does is she goes she goes into different domains, and she hunts down exotic meats and brings them to Sinister for him to eat.
Wait, is she allowed to do that?
No, which is why Mr. Sinister has had her voice removed, so she can't say anything if she's ever caught.
Ah.
So she goes into...
That would stop her from writing it down.
Well, either way...
Would she have access to paper if she was detained?
Very interesting question. Probably not. But again, this is Sinister. Hey, look, Taser, it's Sinister, okay? He has a backup plan. Anyway, so we open to her hunting down Man-Thing and pretty much killing him and being ready to serve him up to Sinister. And she brings it down to Sinister's kitchen, which is called Hell's Kitchen. And inside Hell's Kitchen is a chef named Matt Murdock. Now, Matt Murdock, instead of using his enhanced senses to, you know, instead of focusing on hearing or touch, he instead uses his as an extremely refined palate for cooking and serving food. Or at least that's what Sinister uses him for. So he's brought these delicacies by Elektra and he serves them up to Mr. Sinister. And over time, eventually, he's developed affection for her and she for him. Of course, she can't say anything because she's silent, but eventually, you know, he'll cook her things that she likes and he'll send them to her and such. And he's upset because she's pretty much enslaved Sinister. She can't really do anything. Like she's his slave, as is he. But he's working up the nerve to kill Sinister by poisoning one of his meals. Now, normally this is circumvented by the fact that Mr. Sinister makes Elektra eat everything first in case of poisonings. But see, what Murdock has done is one time when he made her a dish as part of something he'd made for Sinister, which was originally toxic and had to be extremely well prepared in order to avoid the toxin, he left enough poison in it to potentially kill her. But the thing is, the next day she was right there perfectly fine. So he figures if in small enough doses he can immunize her to the toxin he plans to use, she'll be fine, and he can still kill Sinister. Now, everything seems to be going according to plan until she keels over and dies. Yeah. So Murdoch is brought out, and what I love is that he's not even really hurt. He's taunted. Because, you see, Mr. Sinister has known what's been going on this entire time. Because, in fact, she wasn't immunized. She's been dying every single time he's fed her any of this stuff. And he's just been cloning her over again and bringing her back at the same time. Just fucking with him the entire time.
I'm sorry, what?
That is beautiful. Oh my gosh, that is awesome.
And so Sinister, being the showman that he is, brings out the newest incarnation of Elektra and tells her that this dude's been killing her over and over and over again every single day for like the last year or what have you.
Damn.
Okay. So.
Oh, wow. That is awesome.
I'm going to put this in the that's fucked up category, but whatever.
Oh, my God. And what I love is that he can't poison her anymore because he's run out of his toxin. And now all this Elektra knows is that this dude's been killing her, and she is pissed at him. Won't even glance at him, right? Yeah. And so Murdoch's just sitting there whimpering on the floor like, why? Why? Well, because it was funny to mock you. Because you want to see how far you'd go or if you lost your nerve or what have you. But he finally went through with it. So Sinister's like, yeah, you tried to poison me, but on the other hand, I pretty much broke your soul. So just go back to the kitchen and fix me up something nice. And on the way out, they compliment his food for him. It's just, Sinister
that's
has such
you,
goal.
That's brutal. Oh my God, that is beautiful.
And he just ends up carrying Elektra. Dead body out of the hall back to the kitchen, and it's the saddest fucking thing, but it's amazing how brutal and just, oh my God, it's fucked up. So based on that alone, I give this issue 5 out of 5 stars. But the other story with Misty Knight and Paladin and his buddy cops isn't half bad either. Secret Wars Journal has been hit or miss with stories, but this issue #2 is far and away the best issue thus far. I seriously give it a 5 out of 5. It's very well done and fucked up beyond belief in the second case. So that's my issue.
That is that I you know what, that deserves a taser clap.
Oh my God.
Oh wow, that's beautiful. That
it is
fucking
wonderful.
Beautiful.
Very cool.
It left Iggy speechless.
I can't. I just, this is like, this, holy fuck.
Oh. Damn. Wow.
Brilliant. I love
just
it.
Just damn.
And the other story?
Yes. Taser, please.
Alright, I'm done. I'll be quiet.
Yeah. Okay. So, from one fucked up book to another fucked up book, Taser. You're doing Squadron Sinister numero uno. Is that correct?
Oh, I thought there was more stories in your book. Oh, okay.
No, that was it, actually. That was just those two.
Oh, that was the last one? Oh, okay, cool. So it's on me. All right.
I wish there was more of that one, but sadly.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. My book is Squadron Sinister #1, No Honor Among Thieves. Written by Mark Guggenheim and penciled by Carlos Pacheco. Yay! Anyway.
Wait, Carlos Pacheco drew this?
Yes.
Nice. I didn't know. Yes.
I don't know what else he's done because I don't actually pay attention, but actually the art was decent in this.
He did some work that I really enjoyed on Ultimate Avengers back when it was like the third relaunch or whatever. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say this. I give them credit from the start because the cover Covers Squadron Sinister number one. The cover layout is how DC used to do the JLA issues back in the day. You know, you have the faces of the team on the borders, and then on the borders, and then you have the main image. Excuse me, of whatever's going on, in the center, and they have it split up here between Squadron Sinister on the left and Squadron Supreme on the right. Don't get used to them because they don't last long. They do not last long at all. The first page is Squadron Supreme, the what was it, JMS that had rebooted them a number of years ago, I think. That version of the Squadron Supreme faces off against the more superpower comic bookish versions of the Squadron Sinister. And yeah, they get their asses handed to them, which is about right, because if you've paid attention, well, a lot of people may not have known the original version of the team, but Squadron Supreme, basically Marvel's answer to the JLA, just basically complete copies. They wanted to play with them. DC's done it too, so no need to point fingers and say which one's original or not, whatever. Squadron Supreme, they get annihilated. The first one to get dropped is freaking Hyperion. He just gets immolated by Squadron Sinister's Hyperion, and the rest of the team gets dismantled in short order. It's not a fight, which is kind of the sad thing, but it is, to be honest, appropriate, all things considered. So this whole fight had to do with the Squadron Sinister, extending their sphere of influence over territories. Basically, they're in the Suprema province, and they've taken it over because, well, now we feel safer and it's more money for us. But we see that there are people who are paying attention to them, because we see, I believe these are three people from the new universe, and they're from, what is it, I think called Newtown or something like that. And it's a Star brand. I think that's Jenny Spitfire. And here you have the guy, I forgot his name, but I believe he was a dude who basically gained like the Arn Armstrong, the all over Superman thing, minus the ability to fly in the heat vision. He's just strong and fast and durable, and they're here paying attention to what's been going on. The Squadron Sinister, they basically rule their town, Utopolis. I didn't make that up. That's what it's called, Utopolis. And in their Squadron Citadel, which I don't know if Bright knows. He probably did, though, because we did speak about some of the other stuff going on here.
I caught the reference.
It's the freaking Hall of Justice from Challenge to Super
Friends. Oh, God.
And the Squadron Council meeting, they have a trophy room, and it's nothing but JLA DC stuff, with the Mother Box and the Psycho Pirates match. The Green Lantern, there's a Green Lantern in the Mother Box, and I believe the crystals are
Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I thought they were, anyway.
Yeah.
At first I thought Iceman, but I'm like, nah, that's
not. No, but so it's basically JLA references, because that's, who they're supposed to be. Just basically Marvel's version of the Earth 3 JLA. So think of it like that. Anyway, they're talking about, the Nighthawk has, some intel that says that some crew somewhere else is making a weapon that's powered by Argonite. And Argonite's the only weapon that can hurt Hyperion, and therefore they're a threat. So now we have to go take them out, and blah, blah, blah. Iron Thor shows up, member of the Thors, enforcers of Doom's justice.
The Justicars.
And Nothing really major happens with that, but it's like, hey, I'm here, I'm just doing an inspection. If you've got nothing to worry about, I'll be on my way. And, you know, they're trying to think about how to play this cagey. They didn't want to go up against him. You know, they were actually worried because, dude. So, they decide to go ahead with their plans, and, you know, they make the run over to, the Shadow Province. And they managed to get the weapon and, you know, and bring it back. But along the way, the Iron Thor is killed and left in their, you know, citadel, you know, just with like a big freaking hole in his chest. Oddly enough, no blood, so I guess he was a robot or something, but, you know. So, yeah, we have this dead Justicar. Oh, shit, that's something that we got to deal with. And on top of which, the Dr. Spectrum, he doesn't trust Nighthawk because he had seen his Nighthawk try to get the gem off the other Dr. Spectrum, and he knew that he failed at it, but what he didn't know is he had just taken a hand because, ooh, intrigue, and you can't trust the Batman, ooh, that whole thing. Either way, so, you know, it's kind of like a wipe. They go up against the big guy here, Dr. Zero. Yeah, he doesn't ring any bells or anything. And him and what the hell's his name? Hyperion, you know, they slug it out for a bit, but, you know, Hyperion makes short work of them. They, you know, they come back, they get rid of the body, and Nighthawk hands over the weapon, and, you know, it was all, I think a lot of it was a ploy by Nighthawk to try to gain trust with Hyperion, and
didn't work.
It never works. It never works. And God fucking damn it, Jim! I'm Batman, not Superman. Wait, what? What am I even? I'm done. Yeah.
And you see, Nighthawk is back in his night cave. Brian? Did you see the stuff in the night cave?
I'm sorry. What?
It wasn't actually called the Night Cave, but there's a big piece of American currency sitting on a block. It's not a penny. It's a giant dollar bill, but it's
I don't know what that thing is. That thing on the other side looked like a hang carpet. On. It's on the other side of that panel. It's
open it up, my issue right here. Hang on.
Carpet or something, you know? I don't know.
But he has his costume and a clear case on the far side of the room, a different iteration of his own costume.
So,
it's a playing card. It's a playing card.
Okay,
that's what it is. It's the backside
of a playing card. Okay, yeah. All right, so that makes... So, basically, this is Batman's Batcave, but it's Nighthawk. So, they're mining the whole Batman and his trophy shit, you know, thing in these panels. And he's talking to his computer and... You know, Nightmask has his own plans to kill Hyperion. And we find out that Warrior Woman, she's been talking to some of the people from Newtown, a guy named Hazard, who, if I remember correctly, in the new universe, he was an investigator. And here, she's working with him for some reason. We don't really get a whole lot, but, you know, she seems to be working against the Squadron Sinister because she's working with him.
Nightmask, right?
No.
Where's Power Princess? Is she here?
Well, this would be her, but that's not what she's called. She's called Warrior Woman.
Ah, getting close to that.
Same thing.
Yeah, pretty. Same thing. Yeah. I like Power Princess as a name better, though. Not gonna lie.
I understand. What I'm disappointed in is that with the JMS's Squadron Supreme, we didn't get Blur. Because I actually like Blur.
What, the Speedster?
Yeah.
I like, never did.
He's not even in there. There's a guy in armor. And I don't remember Blur having had that going on, you know, back during... JMS's run, but whatever. But they all got killed anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
None of them matter anymore.
Yeah, that's true. They're all dead and intrigue with the Squadron Sinister. This was a fun book if you recognize it for what it is.
A DC,
you know?
a DC parody?
Yes. it's
a
dark
70s DC,
DC
parody?
Not really 70s.
Okay, but a DC.
The cover is it's a nod. It's a direct nod. And the Squadron Supreme and Sinisters, they're a direct nod to the JLA. But the story,
I think a direct joke at the JLA. Weren't they a joke?
No.
Okay. No, some reason not. I think of Squadron Supreme and I think they're a bunch of jokes. I don't know why.
You should read that 80s maxi series.
I will. There's a lot of comics I should read.
I would tell you to read that because that shit got serious real fucking quick. You know, that was a really good maxi series. 12 issues. You can find it in trade. Anyway, this was a fun nod. And I would say I would probably have left this book alone at one issue if they hadn't have included the characters from the new universe, you know? Yeah. And the fact that they're going into other provinces, which Doom seems to, you know, really, you know, wave a finger down. No. Stop that.
It's annexing them. They're keeping the locals in power, but they're pretty much behind the scenes.
That's still kind of bullshit, though.
Yeah, admittedly it is. But obviously, you know, with the whole apocalypse thing that we led to believe in issue 2, it happens, you know.
Yeah,
Not easily, but it happens.
Yeah. So maybe they ran across Thanos and crew. Who the fuck knows? Rather that the Iron Man did. That might have been what happened. And I can see Thanos planning some shit like that. Thanos is devious.
Thanos
but either
is
way,
always planning. He's like 5 steps ahead of everybody else. He's always planning.
So then that means we get to see Thanos take Doom's power. That ought to make some people really pissed off.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
I mean, if it happens, we can call it here first.
Yeah.
We can call it
trademark, Mighty Warriors Theme Marvel Podcast.
I think that'll probably happen because for the first time, Doom will be the one on top, and he'll be the one that's the target because you don't see that too often.
No, Doom's usually the one chasing the title.
Exactly. Exactamundo. But either way, like I said,
Doom is the champ. The champ is here.
Yeah, I would have left this book alone after this, but for the fact that we've got the new universe characters, and I was a big fan of the new universe back in the 80s. So their inclusion here, that's a bit of a hook for me. So I think I'll be here for the next issue. Other than that, you know, the book was okay. It doesn't have to do with the main Secret War story, which is really all I care about. I guess I would give the art was okay. The writing, you know, dialogue was fine. It, you know, things moved along. It didn't feel slow or anything like that. I would give this book, I guess, 3.8 warriors out of 5.
That's better than, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not great. I will say it gets kind of that high also because of the trophy room.
Yeah.
The nods to the JLA, that does help because I always laugh when I see shit like that getting done. So yeah, it's not a bad book though. It really isn't. It's like I said, if it wasn't for the new universe characters, I would have read this and said, okay, nice job, and then left it alone. But you know, they're a hook. So I'll be here for next issue.
Alrighty then. Unfortunately, that's going to do it for this episode
of
the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel.
John, you stupid old man, where the hell were you?
Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel.
He's sitting on the toilet.
Sitting on the toilet.
And still water.
Oh, God. That's the worst kind of, like, using number 2 is when it's just water. It's like, it's just, it's all it is. You don't know when it's going to end.
You know what's worse? I've seen his latest Facebook pic, and I can image that person sitting on a can just waiting for it to fall.
All right, come on. All right, but enough about diarrhea. I have a lot of plugs to plug and some new things that you actually haven't heard
that
of today. Yes, it does. But first and foremost, I'm a reviewer for thegreenlanderCore.com. Please check out virtually every Wednesday for a new review for me as I review Green Lantern, the upcoming Green Lantern Lost Army, the Omega Men, Justice League, and I'm forgetting something. I know I'm forgetting something.
Is that a book too?
What?
I'm forgetting something.
I'm forgetting something number one.
Waka.
I'm forgetting something number
hey,
one.
Hey!
Starring John Jones, where he left his car keys on Mars. All right, but seriously, I write a bunch of reviews for them. Also, I have concluded my month of Batman by reviewing all three Arkham console games to be released at this point, with Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and the much controversial, well, not controversial, but the much less heralded Arkham Origins. So please go check that out. Mr. Dragon will be reviewing his review, posting his review of Arkham Origins.
Mr. Black... Dragon sucks!
he'll be posting his review of Arkham Origins Blackgate, the PS Vita version, soon. And, of course, he's going to be handling the grand finale, which actually launches in a is actually launched now, probably, for Arkham Knight, the conclusion to the Arkham series. Well, I doubt it's a conclusion, but whatever. So, there you have it.
He has a Twitch.
Today, I officially...
Not a nervous Twitch, but...
I officially have my first... I've officially now starting to become a Twitcher. Twitchy. I'm gonna become Tweak from South Park, is basically what I'm saying. I'm now streaming on Twitch now. I probably don't expect it every day because I'm working most of the time, but definitely expect it on Mondays. If I do stream on the weekends, it'll be late night streams, but regardless, the Twitch account is twitch.tv/iggy2814. You can all guess where I got that handle from. So if you want to come hang out,
Nova.
If you want to come hang out while I play games, and I'm working on right now, I'm playing a certain kind of game where, go check out the previous broadcast and you'll see what it is. Because me speaking about it ain't gonna do nothing. But I'm playing that right now. But I'm definitely working on to getting external devices and certain internal devices to allow me to play classic games that I've been wanting to stream for a long, long time. And I love audience participation, so come in, have fun, and, you know, all that other things. So, yeah, I'm very, very busy now, apparently. also, you guys got anything to say? Brian, you first.
Not a whole lot going on in my neck of the woods, so, yeah, no, I got nothing. Sorry.
Taser, do you have anything to say?
Inside Out made me cry man tears. Man tears!
And a dime.
They were worth it.
You sissy!
Man tears!
So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the Marvelous Iggy. We will see you all for episode number 204 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Woo!